Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Invisible Tears. I am here with Amanda and Drew, my two co-hosts, my producers, and my editors. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
We were just doing some joking around.
We were, and unfortunately, we didn't catch it. We didn't record it. And we should have failed.
We should have. Yes, it would have been good. Mm-hmm. So we're here today. We're going to talk about how we were invited to do a presentation.
Yes,
at a true crime club. Mm-hmm. Their name is
True.
It was Emily.
Yep.
Emily that invited us.
Yes. Emily from the True Crime Club in Concord, New Hampshire.
At the library.
Yes.
Yeah. Concord Library.
Yep.
Invited us to go and do a presentation with their club.
Yep. It was on March 19th.
Yeah. And now, may I mind you, their club is... basically about 14 to 16 members that show up on a regular basis. They meet every other month. Mm-hmm. And when we got invited, oh my God, the room was full. There was over 50 people.
Yeah. They were at capacity. Yeah.
They were at capacity and they had turned people away. So I was really excited about all of that. So we went to the library. We had a PowerPoint, which Amanda did an amazing job putting this wonderful PowerPoint together. And we did a live presentation with the group. It was above and beyond anything that I expected. It was awesome. The reception was like amazing. Mm-hmm. Talked about the Connecticut River Valley murders. We talked about what happened to me. We talked about how we began the podcast. Mm-hmm. Talked about you guys. We talked about the coalition. Mm-hmm. It was really awesome. It was really my first presentation that I've actually done, you know, basically with you guys by ourselves.
Yeah.
Without any other podcast involved.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how comfortable I was gonna feel with doing this. Mm-hmm. I felt so comfortable, even though the room was like chock full of people. Like there was people standing because they ran out of chairs. Yeah. You know, people were messaging Emily, you know, can we still go? Because they were asking for reservations in advance to make sure that they had enough room for everybody. And people were just that day that we were there. I mean, they had advertised this at the library for quite a while, I guess, a month or so. Mm-hmm. We popped it on our Facebook page, and oh my God, like everybody wanted to go. Mm-hmm. And so it was pretty amazing. It was crazy, but it was amazing.
Yeah. What was great was like when Emily originally reached out to us, it's because she had actually heard us talking about how you had said you really wanted to get more into, you know, like speaking engagements and that sort of thing, because that was a space where you were drawn to do, but didn't really have too many, you know, opportunities to do it. And so that's actually why she reached out, and she was like, oh, I heard you guys want to start doing more speaking engagements, and we'd love to have you, you know, if the scheduling works and that sort of thing. So it was fantastic that she heard that, reached out, the scheduling and the timing absolutely worked. And then your reception, I mean, Jane, you're just so comfortable up there at the podium and speaking and, you know, just telling your entire story, and people from the audience were like responding to you, like they were invested in what you were saying. It was really, really cool to see that type of reception for you.
Yeah, it was actually great to really see people's faces and how they would react to hearing the story for the first time, because there's many people in there that actually not heard the story. So being able to actually view the emotions that were coming off of them was something special for us, because at CrimeCon, we're in the front row. We couldn't actually see how the response was from the audience. We could hear it, but Amanda and I, we couldn't actually see it. So it's really nice to be able to see how your story impacted people that had never heard it before. I mean, we would hear audible gasps and, oh no. And yeah, it was really great to hear. And there we also did meet some great people. It was great to have Lexi Quartermarsh be able to come down and visit.
It was. Lexi Quartermarsh is Bernice Quartermarsh's niece.
Yeah.
And I had chatted with her online quite a bit, but that was the first time we actually physically met. Mm-hmm. And oh my gosh, she is just the sweetest.
Yeah.
I was so happy to meet her. Mm-hmm. I was so excited to meet her, because yeah. I didn't really, nobody really, like, she had reached out to you, Amanda, mm-hmm. about yeah. going, and but you and I drove up in different vehicles,
right?
You guys and I, so. Yep. I didn't even know that Lexi was going to be there until she got there. And as soon as she walked in, I knew exactly who she was.
Yep.
And it was just like, it was actually a tearful hug between me and her. You know, she showed emotion and I showed emotion, and oh, it was so great meeting her. She's so, so sweet. I adore her. Mm-hmm. And you know, I look at her and see how sweet she is, and she's doing so good and with her life. You know, she too had a tough childhood. Her parents hadn't always been together, and you know, she didn't come from money, and you know, she had all those struggles. And now that she's doing so good for herself, like she's moved to Manchester, and she's got a really good job, and she bought her first car a few months ago, which she was so excited about. She's got the nicest boyfriend and nice looking too. And she's in love, and she's just doing so good for herself. And I looked at her, and it was like, I wonder if that's how Bernice would have been. You know, how much Bernice would have been like her, or how much she's like what Bernice would have been like. Yeah. And I almost can totally envision that, her being so much like her aunt.
Yeah.
Because Bernice's beginning of her life was not that great either. I just kept seeing so much. Every time I looked at Lexi, I was seeing Bernice.
Yeah.
And I had not yet let Lexi know about the stone. Mm-hmm. And part of our presentation was announcing that we raised enough money for Bernice's stone and that it was going to be put in at the end of April. And we had a mock-up picture of it. And then we had a picture of what her grave looked like now with the little plastic plaque. So I went back. Lexi was sitting in the back of the room. And I said, well, before the presentation starts, I think I should let her know that this is going to be up on the PowerPoint, because I didn't want her to, you know, I wanted to prepare her a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so went up and I was talking to her, and we were talking about her Uncle Bobby. Yep. And she had mentioned how her and her Uncle Bobby were trying to figure out how to get Bernice the stone. And I said, we got one. And she just looked at me and she's just tears coming down. And she's like, I really? And I said, yes, we've raised enough money and Bernice is going to have her stone in the end of April. And that's why I'm coming over to talk to you, because I want to let you know that this is going to be part of the presentation. And she just cried and she was like, thank you. Thank you. And I asked her, you know, I'm hoping the family will be okay with this. Mm-hmm. And she's like, the family is going to be so thankful that we did this, and told her that we wanted to plan something, you know, a candlelight vigil of sorts.
Yeah.
For when the stone gets put in, and if she could contact the family. And she's like, absolutely, the family's going to be ecstatic about this. And so it was such a good conversation with Lexi. It was great. It was hard, because while I was up at the presentation, she was sitting again in the back, and every time I had to prevent myself from looking at her, because every time I looked at her and we made eye contact, it was like almost we got emotional. Mm-hmm. You know, I could see her getting emotional and start crying, and I would start crying, and, you know, I started tearing up, not fully crying, but tearing up. And so it was almost like I had to, like, not that I wanted to, but it was like I had to stop having eye contact with her, because it was such an emotional night.
Yep.
Like all the way around.
Yeah.
All the way around. With the reception that we got and everything. Mm-hmm. And it's like we talked a lot about law enforcement.
Yep.
And you know, what they had done in the past. And we talked about the coalition, and people got real vocal about that.
Yeah.
People were like surprised, I think, mm-hmm. and caught off guard of the way that law enforcement had, you know, gone about with my case and the other cases.
Yeah.
And the things that we told them, they were pretty surprised.
They were, again, just kind of showing how, like, invested they were, like, in your story too. Like, they were, like, as you're going through and talking about your attack and then your healing process and everything, you know, you could just see how everybody was really, you know, they were reacting. They were even, you know, sort of like responding to you as well. Like Drew said, like gasps and stuff like that. But once we got to the law enforcement piece, people were pissed, you know, people were angry right alongside you. And so you were definitely a very effective speaker.
Oh, thank you.
Of course.
Thank you. I tried.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People definitely responded to you. So you're going to keep on doing it?
Yeah. We're looking for places. Now, see, a lot of places want to charge us to be there. Mm-hmm. A lot of places, you know, like small conference rooms in like the Best Western and Keene. Mm-hmm. I called them up and they actually, you know, you have to pay for the rooms and stuff. So presentation that we did, because it was through the club, the True Crime Club, was actually free to go to.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is if we start going and doing these presentations, because we have to pay for, you know, our expenses to do this, we would have to charge. We would have to do, you know, cash paid tickets. So that's something that we're working on. We're going to be working on. A lot of people had suggested the Keene Library. Because there was like a ton of people. You're going to do this in Keene, right? You're going to do a presentation in Keene. So we are trying to find a place that can accommodate enough people, because the last thing we want to do is tell people we're full, we're at capacity, you can't come in. We don't want to do that. We want to be able to have, you know, everybody that wants to come and meet with us and see us. We want to make sure we have a room that has enough capacity to accommodate everybody that wants to come. So we're working on this. So yeah, I definitely want to continue doing this. You know, you were talking to somebody that had connections with the government, New Hampshire House.
Oh, yes.
Representatives.
Yes. So it was, let me access my memory banks here and remember exactly what she was. We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
With Kizik hands-free shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
And now back to our episode. Yes. So someone that attended the presentation, she was a former advisor for three different governors in the state of New Hampshire. And so she had actually come up and given me her contact information for us to connect. I definitely did tell her that we were going to connect and I was going to pick her brain a little bit, because a lot of what you laid out, Jane, with the, you know, sort of like the handling of and what you had been told from officials, she was like, I'm just letting you know right now, like BS. And so she wants to help us and help educate us on the sort of like the policy side from the state of New Hampshire perspective. So that was fantastic that she was there. Yeah, that was and she huge. Came forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Drew, did you meet anybody interesting?
Actually, yes, there was one that I wanted to bring up. It was a mother and daughter. The mother or the daughter was a college student. I was able to speak with them for a little bit. Now, if she does happen to be listening to this episode, we would love for you to reach out because I'd love to talk to you and your professor, particularly about the Merrimack cases that we spoke about. So if you are listening to this, please feel free to reach out to us. We would love to set up some time to talk with you and your professor and, you know, hear about, you know, what they're uncovering as far as looking at cases within New Hampshire on the eastern side of the state. So that was a great conversation that I had and would like to continue that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then shout out to Pat, who I used to work with, who actually showed up. That was nice to see him.
And he didn't know you were going to be there.
Nope. Never fails. Wherever I go in New England, I always run into somebody that either I know or knows somebody in my family. It's just ridiculous.
Most of the time I'm that way in Vermont. Never fails. Somebody, because I got so much family over there.
Yeah. That mother-daughter that you were talking about, she stood up and asked some really good questions and brought up a lot of good opinions. And they were interesting. They were.
Now, the daughter that was going to school, was it genetic genealogy that she was studying or was it criminology? Do you guys
remember? I believe it was criminology.
Criminology. Okay. Yeah. Because I remember her talking. It was really interesting. You could see, and I think you brought this up too, Drew, like throughout the course of the presentation, like her mother asked, you know, some great questions and that sort of thing. You could almost really see like the realization, like from the mom about like, oh, wow, like this is the type of work my daughter's going to school to like do to sort of like help and that sort of thing. And I remember after you guys were done speaking with them as they were sort of exiting, I looked at her and I said, thank you for the work that you're doing and for what you're studying. And she was, she almost seemed a little bit taken back and was like, oh, you're welcome. I was like, no, it's important that people understand how important your work is.
Yeah. And I think that was one of the most awesome things that comes out of the, you know, doing these presentations and speaking is you're not just speaking to true crime fans.
Right.
There's, you know, people want to hear my story that are going to school, studying criminology, people that are studying DNA analogy, you know, stuff like that. I think there was an author there that writes books, true crime books. It was just such an array of people, And it was, you could hear a pin drop in that. I had no microphone. Yep. I had no microphone. And this room, I want to say at least 55, 60 people that they fit.
Yeah, I think so. I think it was about 50 people, I think. Yeah, I think that's where they,
You could hear a pin drop in that room when we were talking, you know, and we did a Q&A, which people asked some really awesome questions, and it was really, really good. It was almost as educational for me as it was for them talking about everything, because hopefully every time we do something like this, we get to meet that new person that can take us one step further with other stuff, you know? But it was also like getting back to what you guys were saying, seeing the people's faces and their responses. We don't get to see that when we're doing podcasts.
Right.
And again, when we were at CrimeCon, I could not see the audience at all when I was speaking because the lights were so bright. So I really couldn't see the people's reactions. And I saw a lot of reaction when I was doing that presentation. So, but yes, we plan on doing more of those.
If anybody that's listening knows of any free places, free larger places, you know, that is around the Keene area, reach out and let us know. places that would actually host us too, because we do have a lot of local fans. So if anybody knows of any suggestions that we should be looking into, reach out to us and let us know.
And if you have a club or an organization mm-hmm. that would like to hear us speak, it doesn't even have to be in the Keene area. It could be in the tri-state area.
Yep.
Reach out to us. We'll travel.
Yep.
We're not going to travel no 2-3 days to go to like California or something like that, right? Yeah. We're not yet. We're not quite there yet.
Because these guys won't get on a plane with me. We've already gone through that. Yeah. We've already gone through that. Nope. I'll fly, guys. I'll fly. You know, we got a big Australian base down there. You know, I'd come down for you guys, but they won't.
I know. I'll have to take a boat there. I can take a boat to Australia.
So I said the same thing. I'll be right there with you, Jane. On our 3-week cruise together.
I was just going to say, book a cruise that'll bring us there. Oh, that would be so fun, huh?
Wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
That would be the only way I could get there. Sorry, I don't fly. I know. And it's like every day we see something and it's minor stuff. I understand that. But like a plane loses a wheel and destroys a car. I mean, that door hatch flies off the side of the plane. Do you know? Well, I would have died right then and there if I was on that plane. OMG. I know. But I know everybody says, oh, it's the safest form of transportation. Okay, I get it. I'm just not gonna fly.
I just still go back to that conversation that you and I originally had. And that's why I'll never say this to you again, because I brought that up, right? It's the safest way to travel. You're however much more likely to, you know, get in a car accident. And you're like, and how likely is it that you're going to get attacked by a serial killer and survive? I was like, point taken. I will shut my mouth and never commit to that. I was like,
I did. I said that.
You did. I was like, you have a fantastic point, Jane. I will shut my mouth.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Drew won't fly either. He used to.
He tried.
I tried.
You used to?
Yeah. I don't know. I just.
Didn't you fly over to Europe or something?
He had to for work.
For work. And that I fucking hated it. I couldn't sleep a wink. I was the only person awake on an all-night flight, pretty much.
And then remember how you were delayed coming back from France because of engine trouble or like something mechanical with the plane?
Yeah, mechanical. They had to like fix the plane.
You stuck in Dublin. I was like, oh my God, he's freaking out so bad right now.
Yeah, when we flew down to, and of course, yeah, those trips, it was all just by myself. So it's just faking it, trying to make it. But when we went down to CrimeCon on the first leg of the trip, I actually flew down to Orlando with Amanda. And I'm sitting there, I'm just trying to read, trying to pretend nothing's going on. But I'm looking down, I'm like, my goddamn fingernails are sweating. How the hell is this possible? I don't like this at all. So when we get down to Florida, I was like, Jane, do you have an extra seat? Can I ride home with you?
Yep. Yeah. It was so bad that I was surprised that he has a book in his hands trying to divert, you know, his attention or focus on something. And it was so bad. I was surprised that the print wasn't smearing because his hands were sweating so much. And I swear, I mean, it's not that long of a flight. It was 2.5, almost 3 hours, right? Because we flew direct from out of Hartford. The entire time, I am actually trying to give him Reiki. I'm a Reiki master, dude, too. And by the time we landed, my entire body was sore from trying to do it to try and help him, because I'm like, oh, I need to help with this anxiety, help with this stress. And that's when I actually witnessed and felt what he was feeling. That's when yeah, we would. We started having those discussions. And of course, I had to make sure and let Drew know, like, I'm going to fly back alone. You're going to drive back. You're not going to go through that again. And yeah, because.
Oh, when we picked you guys up from the airport, I saw he was just as white as a ghost.
Yeah.
He just, you could even though he's already landed.
Yeah.
We're picking you guys up from the airport. He's in a vehicle. You could still see the anxiety in him. He was just.
But now other passengers on the plane, I don't think didn't notice it. Like, cause I don't like do the freak out. I just
Yeah.
Quietly.
Oh yeah. No, that if people didn't know you, no indication. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, Amanda, we know you, Drew. So it's like, we could tell when something is off and, oh, you were not good when we picked you up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, besides being a Reiki master too, I mean, I'm extremely empathic. So if I have a connection with you, like, you know, you're my husband, so I know you really well, but I also have like this energetic connection with you too. I felt as if it was my own, everything that you were going through. And that's why I was like, oh, this is the, there's no, there will have to end up, if you want to eventually try and overcome this for a trip we're taking or so, we're going to have to be doing baby steps and desensitization. We're going to have to go through a whole bunch of different steps. Like, don't put yourself through this again. There's an option. Yeah. There's another option. We're just going to do this instead. So yeah, there's no need. He didn't need to go through it again, you know?
Yeah.
And especially with how I described to you with what happened with how the flight actually was on the way home. I was so thankful that you weren't on it. It was delayed. I don't even know how many hours because of weather. And it was one of the most turbulent rides I've ever actually. And I've flown a ton. It was one of the most turbulent flights. And I was in the second to last seat in the back. And I know you hate flying in the back too. You told me about that. So I was like, oh, thank God he's not on here. It wasn't a comfy flight home.
I know. We messaged you all flipping day. You were supposed to leave that morning. You ended up having a night.
Yep. I ended up having a night flight. Yep. And I felt so bad too. Because I was so I was supposed to land, you know, at one time, and I kept on having delays. Well, like I was, you know, I got a daughter here too. You know what I mean? And even though she's like a teenager, she was trying to plan on when she was going to be meeting up with me. And after I landed in Hartford, I still had to drive home.
Yeah.
So I ended up basically getting home like kind of like in the middle of the night, like really early in the morning. And so everything ended.
We ended up only being like 6 hours behind you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Crazy.
Yeah. I really got to know Orlando Airport. Like inside and out.
And all the bars and where those were.
I mean, I really didn't hit the bars until like, you know, it was actually one because of I think it was the third delay and gate change too. They kept on changing the gates. I just popped in and I was like, just give me a drink. I was watching one of the games on the TV too. But
I would have sat at the bar and been on first name basis with the bartender by the time I left.
Yeah. I would say, I think I was actually editing. I was actually editing while I was there because I had my laptop with me. I was actually editing. So I was actually working while I was there.
All right. Well, if you know of a place that we could get access to do another presentation, let us know. Shoot us an email. Shoot us a message. We would love to go to your area. If you're a club, club member, anything like that,
school, university,
university, class. Mm-hmm. Anything like that, reach out to us and we'd love to go and speak.
Yeah.
And meet people.
Yeah.
We're people. We like to meet new people.
I was just gonna say, as much as Drew tries to say that he's not, he is. He is.
Oh,
he's
he
a homebody,
is.
But he is a people person.
Yes.
You are. He's like, don't
you're
tell
like your
people
dad.
That.
Drew, you're like your dad. admit it or not, I don't care. You're just like your dad. You can have a conversation with just about anybody.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Mm-hmm.
You are a true chameleon. You really are. And I've seen you in all sorts of different types of settings. I've seen you in a super formal business setting presenting to hundreds of people, right? And putting on that cap. And then I've seen you in our, you know, retail store when we had it, you know, just like shooting the shit with people and, you know, talking about this or that or what they could use this for. Or it's, you're a chameleon. You're a good people person.
You are.
Finding that common ground with every person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're great at that.
Yep. All right. So keep listening to Invisible Tears. Subscribe. Tell your friends. Share. Yep. Until next time.
Until next time.
Thank you all so much for listening to this episode of Invisible Tears. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast to hear all future episodes. Click into our link tree too in the episode description to find and follow us on all our social medias. And it also links to our website, invisible-tears.com, where you can keep current on any events that may be coming up, read more about Jane and the team, and read more about all the Connecticut River Valley unsolved cases. Evil may exist in this world, but we will not let it win. See you next episode.